we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, now hear these words from Colossians chapter 3. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord Jesus, we have joined in this place to do these things. We have joined in this place, O Lord, to dwell on your word together and to let it move deeper and deeper into our hearts. We have come to this place, O Lord, to encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ to keep on keeping on in these faithful lives with you. We need each other. Thank you for every single person in this room that we get to be in this together. What a gift. We have come together, O Lord, to be grateful. These words in Colossians tell us more than once, come with grateful hearts, for our God is good. And so we are so grateful for your grace, O Lord, for your presence among us, O Lord, for your love for us, O Lord, for your patience with us, that you're a God who goes before us and behind us, a God who dwells within us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we have come to this place, O Lord, to do everything we do together in the name of Jesus. For he is worthy of all that we bring in this moment. He is worthy of our songs. He is worthy of our prayers. He's worthy of just our being here, of our presence. He's worthy of the gifts that we get to give. He's worthy of our open hearts. He's worthy of our very lives. And so as we lift high the name of Jesus together, would your heart be pleased, O Lord? And would you empower and encourage us for the living of this day as your people? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. In February, we are doing a series on mental health and how we have a God who is passionate about our holistic well-being. And right in the dead of winter in Washington State, what better time to talk about our emotional and mental wellness that we find in our Lord. And so today we find the prophet Elijah on a rather low time in his life, 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram, and you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, just as truly as Elijah heard your voice, could we also hear your voice in our midst this day? We are here because our souls always long to encounter our God. Our ears long to hear you, and our hearts long to know what to do, how to be as your people. And so might all of these things happen as we open ourselves up to your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone watch the Grammys? No one? Oh my goodness. The Grammys. But the Grammys, I'll just fill you in. All right, me and Dawn. Next year at my house. All right. At the Grammys, Billy Joel, you've heard of him, right? Yeah, okay, good. Okay. He performed a new song. And it's a big deal because this was the first new song that he's written in a long time. For 22 years... You know, Billy Joel, he just had hit after hit after hit. Then just out of the blue, he just stopped. And he said in this Grammy interview before his song, he said, the last time I wrote a song had to be like 30 years ago. And he said, people asked me why I quit writing. And he said, I told them because I wanted to. He said, I had lost the magic of writing. Billy Joel said, the reason I do what I do is because it was so much fun when I started. And he said, I just lost that for a while, 30 years while. On July 27th, 1999, Barry Sanders announced his retirement from the NFL via a fax. Haven't seen one of those in a while, via a fax sent to the Detroit Lions organization. A fax. Sanders was still at the peak of his football career. He was less than 1,500 yards away from breaking Walter Payton's all-time rushing record. And he just quit. Reflecting on his retirement years later, Barry Sanders said, you know, for me, just that thing that drove me to play, that passion, it just wasn't there anymore. Billy Joel said he lost the magic. Barry Sanders said he lost the passion. Both of them walked away from something that they loved because they were burnt out. Ever been there? Like when you strike a match, picture it. At first, that flame for a second is big and powerful, right? And then after a moment, it settles into a steady flame, and that lasts a while. Slowly, it begins to fade until it is gone. Have you ever felt a little bit like a match before? The areas of your life where you are engaged in ministry. And I pray that there are areas in your life that you are engaged in ministry. If not, then what are we doing, right? But in those places where you are, which stage of the match's life are you in right now? Is it that big flame, something that God just lit up inside of you, and you are passionate, you are ready to go take on the world? Is it that steady flicker? Been doing this for a while, but I'm as happy as ever. Just keep on keeping on. Do you feel that your little ministry flame is starting to fade? Could it even be gone? Anyone flat, burned out? Today's message is for the folks who are starting to fade. And if you're not there today, if you're engaged in ministry, come back next week or the next one. The folks who need the Spirit to fan the flame of passion in their lives. Folks wanting some fresh inspiration from God, a fresh breath from God, to be able to keep on keeping on in the good life and the good work with our God. That's who this is for today. Hopefully everyone stays in the room. In 1 Kings chapter 18, that's not the one we read, we read 19. So the chapter just before it, Elijah is on Mount Carmel. Do you know that story? This is the freshly lit match story. Burning big and strong. That's the kind of mountain that Mount Carmel is in Elijah's life. Elijah is a faithful prophet for Yahweh in Israel. And unfortunately for him, he's serving at a time in his life when it seems like no one else is faithful to Yahweh. There's this other false god named Baal who has all kinds of followers. And so Elijah gets put out with this, and he decides, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a showdown. And he invites 400 prophets of Baal to meet him on Mount Carmel. And they're going to take turns calling on their God to bring down fire on an altar, and they're going to see which God actually shows up. Spoiler alert, Yahweh does. God. Baal does not show up. By the end of the day, the prophets of Baal are on their knees acknowledging God as Lord. Elijah ends up killing most of them. It gets kind of gross. But God is glorified. God is made big. God wins. And Elijah was the only one there to see that come to be. Ministry. It's exciting. And it's fun. Except for the killing part. But the fire coming out from heaven part, that part's cool. We get to participate with God in these things that are so much bigger than ourselves. When's the last time you did that? It's fun. We get front row seats when we are fully engaged in the ministry that God's given us. We get front row seats to see a God who is actually moving in this world. And it is a blast. Is there anyone in this room, I wonder, who feels like they are on Mount Carmel this morning? I mean, just having a ball serving God. Seeing God work wonders before them. It is a wonderful place to be. I pray that you all have many Mount Carmel moments your whole life long, because it's good. It is the good stuff. But poor Elijah couldn't stay there for long. Chapter 19 comes quickly. He came down from the mountain, and he immediately heard that the queen Jezebel wanted to kill him. She's mad because all of her prophets had been killed off, and she is going to kill the guy who's responsible. And so Elijah, scared for his life, starts running. And it looks like for a whole entire day, he's just running and running and running until he is deep into the wilderness, and he is all alone. And he asked God, hey, God, how about you just kill me off before the queen does? Does this seem strange to you at all? this story that follows 1 Kings chapter 18. I mean, the guy who had just seen the living God bring down fire from heaven. The guy who had watched with his very own eyes 400 false prophets fall. The guy who had seen firsthand that we have a God who loves to protect his children. You'd expect that Elijah would have gotten this word about Jezebel's threat, and he would have just thrown his head back and started laughing and said, "Bring it on, Queen Jezebel, bring it on. I've got a God who is even bigger than you, O Queen, and I can't wait for him to show you that. Bring it on." That's what you expect. It's not what he does. He runs, scared for his life, as far from the threat as his feet can take him. He is ready to throw in the towel. He is ready to just be done with all of it. What happened to Elijah? From up there on Mount Carmel to right here in the wilderness alone now. Lost the magic. Lost the passion. Somewhere along the way, burnt out. Anyone feel a little bit more at home in those shoes with Elijah this morning? You used to be so excited. You used to be so passionate about serving God in some way, and somewhere along the way, it just got harder than you expected. It got wearisome. You've just slowly kind of lost your want to, and you're not sure how to get it back. Anyone feeling just a little bit burnt out? Good news, my friends. There's always good news. The same God who meets the passionate Elijah on Mount Carmel is the same God who is just as faithful to meet the weary Elijah in the wilderness. Same God. No matter where you are, God is ready to meet you here today. No matter where. This morning, especially, want to give some help for our burnt out or nearly burnt out friends among us. I think the first thing for this is it's always helpful to recognize the signs of burnout. Because most of us, myself included, are kind of slow to catch on to this. And we don't often know we're there until we've like been there for weeks, months. Like, I think I was burned out. You think? So it helps to know a few signs that show that maybe we're moving in that direction. If you're heading down a path, that's helpful to know the signs that will lead to destruction. So before you are there, you might get the help you need when there's still plenty of time for some good help. Before we're saying, "Oh God, just kill me now. Just kill me now." We can get help before that. Signs of burnout. One of them. What used to excite you is now daunting to you. Think about that. The whole Mount Carmel thing. Elijah versus 400 prophets of Baal. Do you know whose idea that was? That was Elijah's idea. He wasn't thrown into that situation. He chose that situation. He called it. He named it. He invited them to the mountain. 400 people against him. This is a fiery prophet, and this is a man who loved a good challenge. If I have fellow Enneagram friends in the room, you know Elijah's number? He is like an 8, through and through and through. If you're not in, it's okay. But he is a courageous, fiery, passionate prophet. He is a man of strong words. He is a man of such intense courage. Nothing can set him astray. The chance for Elijah to go against 400 false prophets, just him, and show them who God really was, that got him fired up. This is the kind of thing Elijah lives for. Elijah, the queen is trying to kill you. If we know Elijah, this should just be his next challenge, his next opportunity to show the most powerful woman in the land that there is a God who is more powerful than her even still. What an opportunity. A healthy Elijah, he would have jumped at it. But a burnt out Elijah runs away, terrified. Another showdown. An adrenaline rush again. All of it now was just too daunting. He dreaded it. His heart was tired. Burnout had set in. If the things in ministry, the things that you do out of your heart for God, if those things that once got you excited now make your stomach turn when you think about having to show up, burnout has likely found its way to you, or it's very close by. I remember during those hard COVID months, weren't those fun? I remember those first weeks taking on ministry in this whole new way. Figuring out on the fly how to do Zoom children's ministry and Zoom youth ministry. Try doing that with like six black screens in front of you trying to teach teenagers about Jesus. It's impossible. Zoom Good Shepherd group. How to do worship on Facebook Live or in a church parking lot. And at first it was all so exciting. It's like, let's do this. Let's try this. It's going to be fun. By month 9 of the same old thing, I found so many days that what I was praying was not that I would be killed, but I was at least praying that the Wi-Fi would be a really bad signal for the day. God, just kill the Wi-Fi, because I just could not do ministry on a screen anymore. It is not what I went to seminary for. And I started to loathe that computer. I started to loathe that thing called Zoom. I didn't like ministry like this. I was becoming resentful, burnout was creeping in. Has there been something in your life like that for you, where you're just no longer having fun with what really should be fun? Do you know that serving God should be fun? Oh, what? If you're not having fun with it, what's happened along the way? Feeding people that need food, teaching folks about God, calling people who need a call, visiting folks who are lonely, praying for the work of the church, praying for the world, helping usher and greet people, witnessing to the lost, studying God's word. If it's not fun anymore, when did the flame begin to go out? When did burnout begin to sneak in? Those things that used to just light your heart up, now you feel like dread. Sign of burnout. Another sign of burnout is we exaggerate the negative parts of our lives in ministry, and we start to wallow in self-pity. Elijah says to God, "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life." He says it 3 times. I don't know about you, but if I was God by the 3rd time, I may have just done it. But God is way better than me, so be glad that I'm not. He said, "I've been zealous for the Lord, but the Israelites have ruined everything. They have destroyed God's altars. They have killed the prophets, and only I am left." According to Elijah, in this moment in history, everything is bad. Nothing is working, and all of ministry is a failure. Everything is wasted time. The Israelites, they just make a mess of things anyway. Woe is me, kill me now, God. It is all pointless. Nothing works. When you start hearing yourself use the language, "only I," take note. Burnout is close by, or narcissism, but we'll say burnout. "Only I carry about Bible study around here. Only I care about it. Only I am willing to clean things up the right way. Only I make calls to the lonely. Only I pray about these things. Only I see what needs to happen. Only I invest in these people. Only I invest in this thing." The similar voice to "only I" is the same voice that says "everybody and nobody." "Everybody wants to kill me." Everybody, Elijah? Really? I mean, your servant who just walked with you for 17 miles yesterday, he never killed you. So not everybody. There's nobody else who's willing to serve you, God. Nobody else? Really, Elijah? I mean, I could count 7,000 who have never bowed to Baal. Everybody's lazy. Everybody's too busy. Everybody's selfish. Nobody sees me. Nobody cares about this thing. Really? Nobody? Everybody? Hear yourself when you say them, because these words are rarely true. And if we say them a lot, we're likely wallowing in self-pity. And we're probably dealing with the effects of burnout that's already there or that's on its way. Back to that lovely COVID season. When we first finally started to regather in person, I don't even know how long it was apart. It's all a blur. Is it not a blur? It's a blur. But when we first started to regather, I remember there were Sundays when I was so excited to be back together. And I would look out in this room and there was like maybe 30 people, maybe 40. We tried two services once. The second service had 5 people. Awkward, hard. And I would come home in tears and self-pity to Guy, and I would say, nobody wants to worship anymore. Nobody was there today. And he would start to speak to me in a gentle but honest way. And he would say, well, what about so-and-so? I mean, they were there. And what about so-and-so? They haven't missed a chance to worship since the doors were open. Not nobody. Do you see how hungry they were? What about them? Oh, that's right. That's right. You see, burnout blinds us to the life that is right in front of us, to the goodness that is right in front of us, to the truth of God's presence that is right in front of us. Have you heard yourself saying, only I, everybody, nobody? In regards to ministry lately, notice that. Notice that burnout may be trying to take you down. Fatigue, it's a sign of burnout. The main reason that Elijah hits rock bottom is because he's just so gosh darn tired. He has been on the mountaintop. And then he was running for his life. And between those two things, for some crazy reason, he ran from the mountaintop to this town called Jezreel. 17 miles, he just ran there because he had to run there. We don't know why. At some point in his life, the adrenaline has to come down. And his body has to get refueled. He is flat out of it. He's wiped. He's got nothing left to face another battle. Elijah was having a blast serving God, but Elijah had been working and working and working nonstop. He goes straight from Mount Carmel to dealing with the drought in the land, to running into town, running, 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 doing, doing, doing. It's good things, but there is no balance in Elijah's life at all. Elijah is not resting, and Elijah is definitely not playing. He's just working for God. And that is never sustainable. All of our life with God has always been meant to be this beautiful dance between working and resting and playing in the presence of God. Think about it. In the garden, in creation, before things fell apart, from the very beginning, there was work, right? Meaningful work. Care for creation. Name these animals. But there wasn't just work in the garden. In the garden, there was fun. They got to go on long walks with God every day. That's fun. Think about all the different fruits they were trying for the first time. That's fun. Swimming in the rivers, it's fun. In the garden, there was rest. God put Sabbath into the very order of creation. To be alive means that we are a people who are invited to rest. Work hard. Yes, work hard. Please work hard. Play well. Yes, play well. and rest easy. This is the only healthy rhythm of life with God. Are you doing all three? Are you working hard? Are you playing well? Some of us need to play a lot more. Life is too short not to play. Some of us need to work a lot more. So rest easy. Rest easy. Elijah got the work hard part down, but he neglected all the others. And his body was worn and ragged. That's why the angel, before anything else, says, Elijah, take a nap and have a snack. Take care of your body, Elijah. My friends, rest is just as sacred as work. And before he could do anything else, before he could hear a word from God, Elijah had to let God tend to his fatigue. Because nothing leads to burnout faster than just being tired. Which is good news, because there's an easy fix for that. Rest. Just rest. Anyone worn out from life lately? It is impossible to be really excited about much of anything, especially ministry, when you are exhausted. Maybe God just wants you to take a break from what you're doing. Maybe a weekend, maybe a month, maybe indefinitely. Trust me, God's big enough to raise up others to help if that ministry needs to go on. Well, nobody's going to hear it. Nobody? Huh, don't say that. But I tell you this, a worn out, grumpy minister, God does not need. He would rather you rest. Naps might just be what the doctor God is ordering for some of us for a bit. I remember back in COVID when I was working so hard to kick everything off again once it seemed like that dark cloud had kind of begun to lift. And I tell you, I was worn out from months and months and a year of just constantly having to pivot and rethink everything. And finally, it felt like we had a little bit of a green light to move forward. And so I began to gear up to start Sunday schools again and small groups and all the things all at the same time. We were going to move forward. We were going to get back to life. It was going to be good. And I got a call that day from Danielle that she had come down with COVID. And she was going to be out for at least 2 weeks. And in that moment, I was already in myself so afraid about the church's future. And I was already so fatigued from the year that had been. And I just began to panic, realizing that there is no way that I could get the ball rolling on everything at once without her help. And so I began to begrudgingly send out messages that day. Sunday school is canceled again. Wednesday nights are canceled again. Small groups are postponed indefinitely. And I was bitter and I was frustrated. But once that last message left my computer, went into cyberspace somewhere, I felt this tangible breath of relief come through my body. As if God's spirit, which actually means breath, was saying to me, Jamie, you have been running too hard this year. And before just running into this new season of ministry, I'm going to need you to just slow down and rest. I'm too kind to let you gear up for everything right now. You must rest. And I tell you, if my friend didn't get COVID, I might have burnt out and run away. Our God knows that we need rest. The holiest thing that some of you who've been running so hard for God can do in this season is just give yourself permission to rest. Eat well. Take care of your body. Plan some days to just have fun. Plan some days to just stay in your PJs and just hang out in God's presence. The healthy rhythm of living is the best thing we can do to keep our candles burning. If it's out of whack, get it back in order. You have control of that. After Elijah rested, God says, all right, let's take a walk. 40 days to get to Mount Horeb, So start heading that way, Elijah. I'll meet you there. And for 40 days, Elijah moved one step at a time, closer and closer to a fresh encounter with his God. 40 days. Did you know that Wednesday is Ash Wednesday? It's the start of Lent. Did you know that Lent is a 40-day journey to walk with our God in a special way, to prepare our hearts for a fresh encounter with him come Easter? Many Christians during Lent try to remove something from their life that's been distracting them from seeing God. Kind of like what Elijah was doing. Others add in something like morning prayers or daily scripture reading or daily silence to help them see their God more and more. One day at a time. Intentionally moving toward this place where God told Elijah he'd be. Elijah's heart was slowly being renewed. One day at a time. We just get back to the basics of going on these long walks with our God. And our hearts will be renewed in that journey as well. On that mountain, he finally got there, and Elijah waited for this encounter that had been promised to him. A great wind comes and the rocks split. God's not there. An earthquake comes. God's not there. A fire comes. God's not there. How long do you think Elijah was standing waiting to encounter God? When we picture it in our brains, we see it like bam, 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 fire, earthquake, wind. That would be kind of crazy. He could have been standing there for days. He could have been staying there for weeks. We don't know. Doesn't really matter how long, because in Elijah's heart, he had already resolved that he was not budging until he had his God encounter. I tell you, so often I think we miss our holy moments because we budge way too soon. If God's not in the first couple things that come our way, we are on our way to other things. There's no time to wait. Elijah had time to wait for his God. All the time in the world, if that's what God wanted. And my friends, we do too. We do too. Finally, sheer silence. Yours may say a gentle whisper or a still small voice. You know what that's like? When it gets so quiet, you can't help but lean in. You sense this is holy ground, and I'm not going to miss it. You can feel it, can you not? Elijah, what are you doing here? That whisper comes to those who are leaning in, to those who are quieted down, to those who are hungry to hear. There it is. And my friends, to hear the voice of our God is to be totally renewed. It is to be breathed into all over again. It is to be alive again in every part of our being. Just to hear his voice is more than we will ever need. God starts to speak words of calling back to Elijah. Elijah, your ministry is not done. I've already got another prophet, and he's just waiting for you to get back so you can anoint him so he can get going on spreading my word. Elijah, I've got two kings who need you to commission them so they can get to work. Elijah, you are not alone. There are 7,000 others who love me. Elijah, your life is a gift. Elijah, your life with me is wonderful. Elijah, you have rested. Elijah, you have walked with me. Elijah, you have heard my voice. Now, Elijah, let's get back to it, shall we? And with that, Elijah rededicated himself to the good work that he once loved, and he was now passionate again. He had his time of rest. He had his time of renewal. Now it was time to re-engage, to get back to ministry. Some of us have been resting since COVID. Did you know that next month it'll be 4 years since things shut down? That's a lot of rest. That's a lot of rest. Time to get back to it, my friends. Some of us have been living in the renewal part for so much of our Christian lives. We've spent so much time sitting in silence with God, so much time joining every Bible study group talking about God, so much time taking long prayer walks in the woods, just you and God, and that's good. But is that renewal getting you to engage in ministry? Let some of that wonderful intimacy that you've developed with God overflow into the gift of ministry for others. On the other side of burnout, when we've let God care for our weary souls, we get to choose to serve God again with those flames of fire again. I tell you, about 6, 7, 8 months after things had begun to feel a little bit normal again, I had had my season of burnout nearly, pretty much. I'd had my season of rest. I'd had my season of renewal. What was still missing was the recommitment, the rededication. And I tell you how God brought that to the surface. It was about, I don't even know the years, it's all a blur, but about 6 months on the other side of COVID. Within 1 month, I got phone calls from two churches in Texas that when I was in seminary were my dream churches to get to be at one day. And as you know, in COVID, pastors left and right, so there was lots of open churches. And both of these churches got my name some way, somehow. And they both said, would you begin to talk to us about being our pastor? These were my dream churches. One of them was 5 minutes from my parents. Dream or not dream, dream. Now that I have a kid, definitely a dream. I love my parents. The other was about an hour away. They were churches that had big old staffs, much bigger salaries, churches that were doing amazing things in their communities. And as these phone calls came to me in that time, I tell you, the second I began to pray to God about if this was His will for me to begin to be open to moving there, both times it was an immediate, these are your people. This is your place. He said, Jamie, he said, when you first came, you got to choose BCC, but you didn't know what you were choosing. And boy, did I not know what I was choosing. He said, but now you get to choose this place knowing exactly who you're choosing to love, knowing exactly what you're saying yes to. I am calling you to say yes to this people and this place. And I tell you, after that season, I called both of those churches within that month and said, I can't go any farther. I know that God's telling me to stay right here in this very place. I had this flame inside of my heart that ignited as if the first day I showed up in this place, saying, I got to choose this again. And I'm excited about this again. But it's that gift of rededication, of re-engagement. God can do it again.
Hallelujah.
And so, my friends, we got these flames. I've got one right now, and it will start to fade again at times. I hear it happening in myself when the grumbles become more prevalent, when my body gets fatigued, when I'm not as excited about those things that brought me joy. And in these moments, I am learning in your midst to find my Sabbath every week, to see rest as holy work. I am learning to slow down and quiet down and walk with God and then to wait for God until that still small voice speaks and renews me again. Every time I wait for Him long enough, He does. He does. And I'm learning that on the other side of doing whatever it takes to be with God again, whatever it takes, on the other side of that, there will be new energy and there will be new passion for the ministry that God has set before me and before us. Rest, renewal, getting close to God again, re-engage, getting back to work with God. Is God inviting you into one of these today? Rest, renewal, love Him again like you used to love Him, re-engage, get back to work with Him. Is He calling you into one of them? Burnout is real, but we can prevent it. And if we're already in it, there's a way out of it, thanks be to God. we can live with those flames a-burning. Because our life with God, my friends, is meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying it? And serving God is meant to be exciting. When's the last time you were excited about it? And God's children should be the most passionate people in any given room, because our God is a consuming fire and He lives in us. And if we are not so much feeling like those kinds of people this day, hear me, rest, renewal, re-engage. Somewhere in that spectrum is your next step to get that fire back. Which one is it? Which one is it? Let's get the fire back. Would you pray with me? Oh, thank you, God, that you met Elijah on Mount Carmel on the best days of ministry for him. And thank you that you met him in the wilderness and on Mount Horeb in the darkest days of ministry. Thank you that you gave him that fire to show who you were to a world that didn't know. And thank you that you gave him a nap on the days that he just needed a father to comfort him. That's the kind of God you are, tender and mighty. How could you love us like that? Thank you for loving us like that. And so, Lord, I pray for all of my friends in this room, that those who need rest would do whatever it takes to rest in you. That those who need renewal, that those who need to love you again, would do whatever it takes this week to go on a long walk with you, whatever that looks like, until their hearts begin to just love you like never before. And for those who need to re-engage your good work, give them the courage to do so this very week. We want to be your people fully alive. We want to enjoy the life you have for us, even on the hard days, because it is a gift. Help us not miss your gift, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.